I want to begin this morning by saying hello to Betty and Ken up in Alaska, and appreciate their passing along that they have been listening. So thank you for that. So again, welcome. Dialogue is a miracle. Think of the possibilities to transform, possibilities to bring change. Through dialogue, we can hold up truth. We can expose lies. We can form opinions, alter ideas, and convert thoughts. Dialogue can impact how we think and how we act and how we perceive the people in the world around us. Dialogue can expand the boundaries of what we see as possible. Dialogue can open our minds. Through dialogue, we can communicate with one another, connect with one another, correspond with one another. Dialogue is important to our relationships. One author said, "Dialogue is to love what blood is to the body." Dialogue is indeed important. But so often, it's just taken for granted. We hardly give it a thought. It's not nearly emphasized enough or promoted. And it can add such value and such substance to our lives. So why is it then that so often we are terribly bad at it? It was described that barriers to dialogue are those things that keep meanings from meeting. That keep meanings from meeting. That we don't get the meaning. It doesn't meet where we are. A young boy had to take an airplane flight on his own. And he had a terrible fear of flying. And so one time, he was set for a takeoff, belted into his seat and just grasping onto the armrest as it began to roll down the runway. The roar of the engines were reassuring to him. Hearing the engines told him that they were working properly. And the roar of the engines continued as the plane ascended. And then finally, as they do, they level off. And so do the engines. And it becomes much more quiet then, doesn't it? The young boy didn't grasp the meaning of this, and the fear overtook him once more. He stopped the flight attendant passing along the aisle and asked, "Did we stop?" He didn't get the meaning of what was taking place. So often, we may be talking, but not communicating. We don't get the meanings. They don't meet. There are separations and divisions, disconnects, splits, and breaks. There are several things that can cause this separation, this failure in our dialogue. One of them is language itself, the meaning for words that we have. For example, the meaning of the word Christian can mean so much to so many different people, depending upon their experiences, what they have been taught and what they have learned, or the meaning of the word grace. So often people want to put attachments to this and conditions to this concept of God's grace. Another thing that separates us in our dialogue are images that we have, those things that are preconceived. beliefs and ideas and characterizations. So often we characterize what a sinner is. We might focus on specific behaviors of other people, certainly not ourselves. Or maybe we just think of being sinful in our general nature. Another separation is defensiveness, where we feel a need to protect a position or values. We want to stand for what we believe is right and against for what we think is wrong. And we will defend those points. And yet another is contrary agendas, where we have a different purpose for our dialogues and our conversations with one another. When it comes to a Christian perspective of conversation, so often we fail to focus on conversing. Too often we might focus on trying to convert. But there might be contrary agendas. And finally, one of the things that separates us in our dialogue is fear of not being understood, of not being appreciated, to not having what we have to say affirmed. Especially think about the fear that we often have of sharing things like feelings or ideas, of sharing our hopes or our dreams or our goals. And so we fail to dialogue, to talk, to converse about them. Dialogue is about getting to know, expressing views, having a mutual exchange of asking questions and sharing answers. One person put it this way, that dialogue is the trafficking of ideas. And dialogue is the center of our evangelism. Dialogue is the center of our outreach. Even the word evangelism will raise different thoughts in our minds. But first and foremost, when we speak evangelism, it is sharing good tidings. Sharing good tidings. There's a sacramental aspect to our understanding of evangelism, of our witnessing and sharing good tidings. We celebrate two sacraments. There is the Lord's Supper that is commanded by Jesus, has a word of grace and promise. The new covenant in my blood, he says, has a physical presence. The bread and the wine. There is also baptism, commanded by Jesus, as we read today, go and baptize. Teach what I have commanded, Jesus says. And he has left his disciples with the command to love one another. And with baptism, there is the physical presence of water. And so it is with our evangelism. We're commanded by Jesus to go. We are to be expressions and people of grace and promise. And it's important for us to be physically present, to go and make disciples. It requires action on our parts. And it requires dialogue. Sharing good tidings. And it requires our physical presence. Three men had been stranded on a deserted island for a great long period of time. One day a bottle washes up on the shore and they open it up and out comes a genie. The genie says, I'll give each of you one wish. The one man says, well, we've been on this island for so long, I miss my family, I wish to be back with my family, and poof, he was gone. The other man says, well, I really don't have a lot of family, but I've been on this terrible deserted island and it's been such a hardship, I would like to spend the rest of my life on a beautiful resort where all my comforts are taken care of. And poof, he was gone. The third man was asked about his wish and he pondered for a moment and thought about how lonely he was. And he said, I'd like my two friends back. The importance of physical presence, of being in the presence of others and with one another. And what comes first in our dialogue is that we listen. That we listen. We listen to the words that are said. Those are left unsaid. We listen at the choice of words. We pay attention to gestures, expressions that communicate so much. We look for feelings. We listen. And we share good tidings. We share grace and love. God's unconditional love for the world. In 1 Peter we read that we have been chosen. We have been chosen. Chosen to proclaim the mighty acts of God who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. To share that light. That message of reconciliation and forgiveness. Of relationship. We are to be a proclamation of the Word. We are to be an expression of that word through our deeds and our actions. Go make disciples. Begins with our praying for opportunity. To recognize that opportunity when it comes. When we have dialogue with one another, to have basic answers and responses to questions, but certainly not all of the answers. And when we dialogue, not to be defensive, and not to enter into dialogue with expectations. And so I want to share with you the prayer of St. Francis that describes who we are to be, what we are to be. Praying, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Let me so love, pardon, faith, hope, light, joy. Grant that I might not so much seek to be consoled as to be consoled, to understand, to love. For it is in giving that we receive, in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Go. Make disciples. Amen.